Well, this morning is the last in a series of messages we've been in the previous 5 weeks. Today is number six. That's been titled Evangelism as Exiles. A book of the same name has given us the sermon series title and has also helped shape the themes each week. One chapter from the book each week has helped to shape the themes of each passage or each message. The series has been about encouraging us and helping us to see how we can share our faith by living more authentically as disciples of Jesus, just living that out in everyday kinds of ways, especially considering that we are in a culture where that's going to stand out because the culture around us doesn't really value the same things that we value. It certainly doesn't value Jesus, stands against our beliefs. So spiritually speaking, we are exiles in our own land, which is where this title comes from, Evangelism as Exiles. So how do we help others around us receive the good news of Jesus given the context in which we find ourselves? You know, that's basically what this series has been about, helping to answer that question. Next week, we'll get back into our series in the Gospel of John that we had been in, and we'll pick that up and then continue on into the rest of it. Will probably take us right into eternity. All right. No, actually, it's the spring. It'll be over in May sometime is what it's mapped out for. So in this series, we've been in the New Testament letter of 1 Peter. That's where each of the passages have come from each Sunday. And that continues today with a look at a few verses in 1 Peter chapter 4. Before we get there, though, I want to just recap and just kind of bring us all up to speed in case either you're new or you missed a Sunday. And just simply to, just recapture where we've been the last few weeks. Just very briefly. So the first Sunday, we looked at a message how shame and the fear of exclusion by others prevents us from sharing about Jesus, right? It prevents us from doing that. Like we don't want to be excluded. We don't want to be left out. And so we kind of box Jesus up on Sundays and set him aside the rest of the week. That then led into the next week's message about where we talked about fighting that fear, fighting the fear we have of others with another kind of fear. Those whom we fear are whom we please. We don't want to let them down, right? We fear being dismissed. And so we want to fear God and please God instead. The fear of God and the desire to please God trumps our fear of others and our desire, whether it's an acknowledged desire or not, the desire is there to please them so that they would like us. We want God to like us instead. We want to please God. So that fear trumps the other fear. In week three, we looked at this idea that while we want to please God first, that doesn't mean that we do so in such a way that is disrespectful or ungentle towards others, like because that then turns them off from Jesus. We want to live out our faith in a way that is respectful towards others. And that then led to week four, where we talked about how a respectful way of sharing our faith is simply by declaring the praises of God, living out our faith in authentic ways each and every day. We can very easily and effortlessly praise God in our daily lives. It's not just something we do on Sundays. It's something we can live out all the time. Praise, one of the songs we sing here at this service regularly is, praise will ever be on my lips, right? So let's allow that to actually be true, to make it a way of life, a natural part of who we are. And then last week, we talked about living holy lives. We are called to be holy because God is holy. That's what the passage tells us, and we see that in the Old Testament as well. We are set apart for God. That's what to be holy means, simply to be set apart for God. So we want to be visibly different from the world around us, okay? Not visibly the same, and not different but invisible. We want to be visibly, so the world sees it, different. Holy, set apart for God, right where we live, work, and play, wherever we may be. So then that brings us to today. Unlike the other themes that we've looked at each week, we've looked at a passage, but the theme that's come out of each passage, today's theme is not a prominent one in 1 Peter. The other ones are. We see them woven in throughout the letter of 1 Peter. Today's is not so much prominent there. It is mentioned, but it is a prominent theme in Scripture for sure. And in Jesus' teaching as well. So we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, just the shortest passage we've had yet, probably about the shortest passage I've ever preached on, quite frankly. Three verses, 8 through 10 this morning from chapter 4. Here's what Peter writes. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. All right, so there you go. Very brief passage this morning. And in this passage are three things Peter writes that we Jesus followers are to do as we live out our faith. And all of these are founded upon what God has already done, right? This is not a new thing. This is how God treats us. Love each other deeply, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, and serve others. So the first and the third one, the kind of the bookends of those three, love and service. We see those two throughout Scripture quite regularly, including in Jesus' ministry. They're regular enough that when we read those two here, like those two particularly stand out as ones that we resonate with, that we know from Scripture. And anyone who's followed Jesus for any length of time knows that loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves are the two commandments that Jesus lifts up, that he says basically summarize the rest. All the law and the prophets hang on those two. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So love, we're familiar with that. We also know that that love is not just for those inside the church. It's not only for here. Our love is not to have any bounds in terms of who we love, right? It's for loving those outside the church, outside the fellowship as well. Peter emphasizes the love within the fellowship of the church here, but you cannot read the Bible without coming to the conclusion that our love goes outside the walls of the church as well. And then serving others. Serving others is highly valued in Scripture as well. Probably many of us are familiar with Jesus' statement, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many," even, he goes on to say. It's one of the many teachings that Jesus gives about serving others, teachings throughout Scripture as well. We see all kinds of examples of service, not only from Jesus' life, but from others as well. Okay, so love and service are the bookends here in this series of three things. Sandwiched in between love and serve is this command to offer hospitality. I don't think it's an accident that Peter puts it in the middle between the other two. He wants to connect our love and he wants to connect our hospitality to our love and our service. Probably many of you have had people over to your house, you know, for a dinner or coffee or dessert, whatever. You've hosted people over, whether it's just another one or two people or maybe a large gathering. And you know that when you do this, it can be, depending on how prepared you kind of always are to have guests, it can be tiring. It can be exhausting. Like maybe you have to spend 3 or 4 hours cleaning the house in order to feel comfortable to have people over. Right? I mean, we've got a family of 6. I get it. Our house is really rarely ready to have company over spur of the moment, at least for the standards that we want to have. Fortunately, usually the people who come over aren't judgmental and it all works out, but it can be tiring to get the place ready and the food ready and the drink, whatever it may be, right? So our family hosted Thanksgiving in 2019, 3 years ago, we hosted the family Thanksgiving for our family and our extended relatives and others as well. I've got a photo of it, in fact. We had 22 of us at our house. I'm not in the photo. I'm taking the photo there. But at our meal, and we had a wide range of folks. We had my sister and her husband and their 3 kids were there. My parents were there. My wife's mom was there. Well, I got it listed here. I should just follow what I have written here. I'm trying to go off my memory, and that's not going to work. A childhood friend of Gwen's was there, along with her husband and their son. There was a cousin of my wife, a cousin of Gwen's was there, along with his wife. I don't know. I think I've covered all. There are 22 of us all told. The mom of Gwen's friend was there also. So it was this gal and her husband and kid, and then her elderly mom was there also. So it was quite a mix of folks. Some people who had never met each other before. They didn't know one another. We were all gathered for Thanksgiving. And although everyone pitched in by bringing, side dishes and different beverages and so forth, it still was it was still kind of taxing for us. It was a lot of work to get our house ready for that. Moving furniture to make room, we had to bring in another table, get it set up, move the furniture to make room for that, find lots of extra chairs. The cooking, obviously, you know, we cooked the turkey at our house, some of the other dishes we cooked, all of that was going on. And, you know, so there's a lot of work that goes into it. And it can be easy to kind of grumble about that. And because these things are taxing, because they, you know, we're not all related to Martha Stewart, you know, you don't have the natural hosting gene maybe in you. Because of that, Peter commands the people he's writing to, and now us, to show hospitality without grumbling. Did you notice that when we read it? He says, show hospitality without grumbling. It's not just show hospitality, period. You got to do it right. Be hospitable and be happy about it, darn it. You know, that's kind of like what he's saying here. So this all begs the question, you know, in light of the series we've been in about evangelism as exiles, where we're in a culture that doesn't affirm our faith, what's the big deal about hospitality? What does it have to do with sharing our faith? What's the big deal about opening our homes up to others? Why would we go to that effort? Why would we put ourselves out there with non-Christians, right? We're talking about inviting people who don't know Jesus. Not the people who are part of your Bible study and small group and Sunday school and sit next to you in the pews. How about those that don't? Why would we do that? Well, here's why. Because there are people in your life, hopefully you have people in your life, there are people in your life who have never darkened the door of a church or haven't in decades and will turn down an invitation to join you at church, especially at first, but will gladly come over to your house for a meal. And those are the people that Peter is talking about here. Those are the people he's encouraging, commanding, telling us to invite over. When he writes of the word hospitality, the Greek word there is philoxenos. It's a compound word, two words brought together. Philo is one of the Greek words for love. Probably maybe you're familiar with it, like Philadelphia. The phila comes from that, city of brotherly love. Xenos is the word for stranger. We get our word xenophobia from it. Fear of the other. Fear of those who are different than us. Fear of the stranger. Scripture leaves no room for that, by the way. Philoxenos, hospitality, literally means to love the stranger. Love those who are different than you. Love those who are other than you. That is biblical hospitality. Not just your friends, not just your fellow congregants, those who are wholly different than you. And specifically in the context of 1 Peter, he's writing to Christians who are easily the minority in their cities. Not just in terms of like cultural kind of stuff, but in terms of faith. He's encouraging them to invite others over to show hospitality to those who believe differently than they do. They're exiles on matters of faith. And he's telling us the same thing then. People who believe differently than you are who are to be hospitable towards. People who don't cling to the name of Jesus. That is who we are to be hospitable towards. All right, I want to shift gears for a moment. We'll circle back around and tie this all together towards the end here. One thing we've talked about in this series each week in the introduction, I didn't mention it just now, but is that this series is helping to kind of usher in and kick off our new vision of what it means to be a church, what it means to be disciples of Jesus here at Rose Hill. So we've got a one-page document that outlines that our elders have put together, spent several months working on that. It's in the lobby, it's at our church website and so forth. The class that some of you are a part of has been looking at that some as well. So, but thus far in the sermon series, I have yet to quote even a single sentence from the document. There is one phrase I've quoted a few times, but haven't tied it to that document. So we're going to change that this morning. I want to share with you a one-paragraph shortened version. This has actual words and sentences and phrases from the document, just kind of condensed down into one paragraph. So here's what it reads. Over the next 5 years, the Rose Hill family, that's us, our church family, will prayerfully seek to have relationships with people not walking with the Lord. We will understand what it means to connect with those the Lord puts into our lives and be equipped to reach them with the good news of Jesus. The fruit of those efforts will be up to the Lord, right? It's what God does with that, how God moves in somebody's life ultimately is up to him. We plant, we can water, all that kind of stuff. God brings the fruit. Our hope is that over the next 5 years, the way of Jesus will be shared with thousands of people where we live, work, and play. Along the way, we will serve together, share our experiences, worship, pray, weep, and rejoice in whatever the Lord desires to do in our lives, our church, and on the East Side. That paragraph pretty well encapsulates what this full-page vision is about. So the vision, in a nutshell, if you want to reduce it even further, is about Jesus, us being disciples of Jesus, not just for the sake of being disciples, like we're the end game, but that God would work through us to make disciples of Jesus who aren't yet. We are spiritual exiles. We're surrounded by lots of people who don't know Jesus, and God's word tells us to reach out with the love of Jesus to those people. The reason for today's topic, based on this passage in 1 Peter, is that one of the ways we reach people and share our faith is through our hospitality. And when people come over, when someone comes over to your house and you love them and you serve them, and in the middle you have this hospitality piece, and you ask them questions to get to know them. Remember, I think it was 3 Sundays ago, listen, right? Before we speak, listen. When we do that, a couple of things happen. First, you strengthen your friendship with them and create opportunities for conversation beyond the weather, inflation, the Seahawks, Taylor Swift absolutely dominating the top 10 song charts. I mean, it's a different day and age. I get it. You can do that in a way you couldn't 20 years ago, but it's unbelievable. That friendship building is super important. Like, you need that groundwork laid. Second of all, so it does that, it builds relationship. Second of all, by showing gracious hospitality marked by loving and serving them, when you and I do that, and this is the really key part in all this, we actually give them a glimpse of what eternity in the presence of God is like. When you show gracious hospitality that is marked by love and service, you are giving them a glimpse of what it is like to be in the presence of God. You are giving them a glimpse of what it's like to be in God's house. Not here, not the church, eternally. In the church, hopefully, as well. But more importantly, eternally. You give them a window, like a small window, and it may be an imperfect window with cracks and smudges and fingerprints and maybe bent out of shape glass or whatever, but you've given them a glimpse of what it's like to be welcomed into our Heavenly Father's presence. You give them a glimpse of eternity. Remember when Jesus tells his disciples that he's leaving? This is in John chapter 14. We'll get there in our John series in like a couple of months or thereabouts. Jesus tells them that he's leaving them. This is the beginning of John chapter 14. And they start freaking out. They're like, where are you going? How do we get there? And all that kind of stuff. And Jesus says, I'm going to my Father's what? House. I'm going to my Father's house. Why? To prepare a place for you. So this metaphor of house is used for God's eternal place. It's a mansion. Some ways also translated. And he's going there to prepare a place for us. He's showing hospitality. He's getting it ready so that we can walk in and it's turnkey. It's a metaphor for heaven. The parable of the prodigal son is all about a father who represents God, who, and if you read it, you know, he doesn't just wait for the son to come. When he sees him on the horizon, he runs out to welcome him in the story that Jesus tells. So with enthusiastic welcoming and joyful welcoming him home, of the son who was lost but now has been found. And then he throws a huge banquet for him. Hospitality, graciousness. This is how our Heavenly Father treats us. This hospitality is at the core. So our house, your house, my house, when we offer hospitality, it is wrapped in service and love, and it's undergirded by our faith in Jesus. It is a picture of heaven. It's a glimpse of it. We're giving a glimpse of our Heavenly Father and the eternal dwelling place that Jesus brings us into through faith in him. So when we host with graciousness, with generosity and food and drink and ambience and caring for our guests and conversation and all that, when we love and serve them, we actually are being Christ-like to them in that moment and giving them a glimpse of how God welcomes us in his presence. And if you want to tell your guests that, like if you're sitting there thinking, okay, that's nice. I know people who show hospitality are really great hosts and they aren't Christians. What's the difference? If you want to tell your guests why you are offering this, why you treat them the way you do, and give them a glimpse of heaven a little more directly, I want to give you just two things. These are just super practical. You can apply these to the next gathering that you host at your house. First of all, pray before your meal with them there at the table, including praying for them. Don't change what you do just because there are non-Christians at the table. Whenever we have guests to our house, Christians or not, we always say grace as we always do. In fact, in our family, we have another tradition that precedes the prayer. We sing a little song. And we always sing it, even if people aren't Christian either, never been to our house before. Happy, happy fingers waving in the air. Happy, clappy fingers folding hands for prayer. Our kids are like, oh my gosh. We've been singing it for like 12 years every time before the meal. And we do it with guests. We even do it in the restaurant. Happy, happy fingers. It's a little, you know, we tone it down a little bit. But we sing, we wave the hands. Like, don't change what you do just because someone who doesn't believe in Jesus is sitting at your table. That's kind of what this whole series has been about. Living your faith authentically as you do in your house, in church, on Sundays, wherever you are with Christians, living the same way elsewhere, even when you're not with Christians. So pray for them, right? You do it, and if you need to tell them, hey, look, you know what? Before every meal, or at least before dinner, you know, our household tends to be mostly before dinner. We're gathered there together. We always pray. We'll tell them that. Hey, this is what we do. We pray, so I know you might not, but we just bow our heads. Oh, and then we sing the song. So just endure the song, and then we'll pray. And that's basically what we tell them, and then we do it. So I encourage you, do the same thing. Just tell them, hey, always before dinner, this is what we do. We pray. And if you don't always pray before dinner, then lie. Tell them that you do anyway. I'm just kidding. Don't lie. Don't do that. I'm joking. Don't do that. Start praying before your meal. Start tonight. So the next time you have a guest over, you can authentically say, we always pray before dinner. And then you just do it. If you don't pray before your meal, my goodness, you should. I mean, really. We're Americans. I know what's on your table, on your plate. It's a pile of carbs and calories and grease. You need to pray before you eat that. Okay? So pray before your meal. But then here's the key. In your prayer, don't just pray for the food. Do that, but pray for your guests. Pray for them. It need not be long. It need not be eloquent. In fact, if it's too long, it probably gets embarrassing and awkward. Just keep it brief. A couple of sentences. Thank God for having guests at the table. Give God thanks that you have guests over, that you are so glad that they're at the table with you. And then just pray that God would bless them, that he watch over them, protect them, whatever comes to your mind in that moment, whatever you kind of got planned in advance. And think about it in advance, just a little bit at least. Know at least a little bit about what you want to pray for those people. You don't want to be like the girl who was asked by her mom. They had guests over, and the mom turned to the daughter and said, hey, would you pray for the meal? And they're all at the table with the guests, and the daughter said, well, I don't know what to say. And the mom said, well, just say what you hear mommy say. And they all said, oh, okay, I can do that. So they all bowed their heads and she started to pray. She said, Lord, why on earth did we have all these people over for dinner tonight? Yeah, that's what her mom said a half hour earlier. Not what she normally prays. Okay, that's grumbling in front of your guests and before the Lord. Don't do that. Pray for your friends who are there at the table with them. Thank God for them. Thank God for their presence there, for the honor of having them over. Pray for God's blessing upon them. Just a couple of brief but genuine sentences. That's all it takes. And then give God thanks for the food that you're about to eat, that he'd bless it and use it to bless you and encourage you, and so you'd be able to serve him better. So that's one thing to do. Super practical. Just pray for the people you have over. Second of all, at the end of the evening or partway through it, whenever it happens, if they say something, hopefully they would, thank you, we had a lovely time. The meal was delicious and your hospitality was generous. You know, whenever they say something along those lines, and if they don't, by the way, then that means you got work to do. Can we just be honest about that? You probably got some work to do. If the problem was the food, order in next time. Well, I don't know, whatever. But make the hospitality good no matter what. Like, that's on you. The food you can fix, the hospitality, you know, by having somebody else create it, the hospitality, you got to own that. So be gracious, be hospitable. So when they say that, whatever it is they might say, they're standing at the door about ready to head out, and you can just again thank them. Thanks for coming over. We're so glad you came over. We just wanted to honor you and do our best to share a glimpse of God's goodness and generosity. Thanks for being here. It was great. Just something brief like that that lets them know that your hospitality, all that you've done to make them feel blessed, is because God has blessed you. It's just something that's flowing right through you into their lives. You know, again, think about it in advance a little bit. You don't want a script. You don't want to make it long because that can be awkward. But just have an idea of what you would want to say so you can bring God glory and let them know that your hospitality is because God is hospitable, that God is gracious, that God serves us in Jesus Christ, that God has shown his love in Jesus Christ, that your home is a picture of what God's house is like, of our eternal home. And just like the good experience they had there, being in the presence of God is really good. That's what you want to demonstrate. God's heavenly home, where Jesus is preparing a place for us and where he will lead us to, it's going to be amazing, right? We are way too quiet about that. I don't know. Maybe we need a sermon series on eternity or something like that. It's going to be amazing, right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you for responding. So let's show that in our hospitality. Maybe we need to believe that a little bit more before we can show it in our hospitality. So just by doing that, you are sharing your faith in just a very authentic and real way. This is just who we are and how we do things around here. Glad that you have been blessed to be with us. We have been blessed that you're with us. So I pray that this series has in some way, shape, or form that has encouraged you, maybe challenged you here and there, equipped you to share your faith. Not by beating people over the head with a Bible, but by simply living your faith authentically. Just being a genuine, authentic disciple of Jesus who lives that out each day of our lives, every moment of our lives. Even when we're in the presence of people who are maybe totally different than us. When we live our faith authentically, it's a much more natural way to share about Jesus, to share the good news of Jesus with people. And God will use that in ways beyond what we could possibly imagine to draw people to himself and into their eternal home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way you have loved us, the way you have served us in Jesus Christ, and through all of that, you have shown us your hospitality, that you are a hospitable God who desires to be in relationship with us. We may be created in your image, God, but oh my, we are so different than you. Thank you, God, for loving the other, for loving us. And God, with hearts that are filled with gratitude because of that, with gratitude knowing that Jesus prepares a place for us in your heavenly mansion in eternity, whatever it looks like, we thank you, God, for that. And just knowing that and believing it and being joyful because of it, Lord, help us to show that same kind of hospitality to the people in our lives. Lord, when people come into our houses, may they get a glimpse of who you are, of what you're like, of what it means to be in your presence. Help us, God, to love, to serve, and to be hospitable towards all those who would come into our presence, in our homes and elsewhere as well. Ultimately, Lord, so that you would be glorified, so that people would be drawn to you, that you'd be lifted up and magnified, so they would see you for who you are, and that you'd be given all the glory and all the credit. We pray all of this in the strong, certain, life-giving name of Jesus, and all the church said together, amen.